Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you will continue to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but can thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us again today. It really is. Now, I am praying that you and yours are enjoying a fantastic and safe weekend. What's on tap for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first, we are going to wrap up our discussion on the second of the two most important biblical financial principles in all of God's Word, which, of course, is the principle of stewardship. And then during our Q&A time together, you are going to see if the Bible really does tell us that as a Christian, you ought to give up every material possession in order to better serve the Lord. Wow, now that's going to be interesting. Well, next, and keeping with our theme of giving, John Maxwell is going to talk with us just a little bit about the word tithing. And finally, we are going to hear from our consumer advocate friend, Clark Howard, on how to avoid buying a flood-damaged car. So, stay tuned, won't you? You're not going to want to miss a single minute of today's program. Now, and as we head out today, let's start out the way we always do, and that is with an opening word of prayer. Please join me. Father, we the people in this great land of the free and the home of the brave, we desperately need you. We really do. Oh, that we would leave our ways of seeking to be blessed and instead seek to bless others. Father, we ask for your guidance and wisdom as we vote for our future leaders. We ask you to protect our land from our enemies, both within and without. And we praise you. We really do. We praise you for the freedom that we have through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may your plan be the desire of our nation. And Father, as you spend the next 30 minutes with us, I pray that you would give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear, to your glory, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This week, during our radio seminar time together, we are going to wrap up our discussion on the second of the two most important biblical financial principles in all of God's Word, which, of course, is the principle of stewardship. And as we do, we'll first recall that the very first critical biblical financial principle is the principle of wealth. Wealth according to God's definition. And recall also that wealth according to God's definition, well, it includes a whole lot more than just the money in your billfold or your purse or the change in your pocket. It includes a whole lot more than just your home and your car and your checking and savings accounts and investments. You see, wealth, according to God's definition, well, it can include all of these things, plus it includes things like your time, your talents and abilities and skills and education. It includes your family, your job, your salvation. It also includes who you are as a person. I mean, are you a husband or a wife, a child, an employee, a supervisor, a boss, an American? Are you a Christian? It includes everything. Wealth, according to God's definition, includes everything that God has ever placed into your spiritual trust account. And the most important thing to remember about wealth, according to God's definition, is that it all belongs to Him. He owns it all. It is His by right of creation. You see, God is the owner. You are not the owner. Your job is to be a steward or a manager. As a matter of fact, do you remember our definition of a steward? A steward is simply a manager of someone else's property. Now recall also that in the parable of the talents and in the parable of the foolish rich farmer, we saw some good and some not so good examples of stewardship, and we also discovered that you and I tend to underestimate our capacities and our capabilities in Christ. Now, what we need to do is to remember that our capacity is measured by the promises of God, right? And is God able to fulfill his promises to you? You better believe he is. And doesn't this all bring us right back to Luke 12, 22 to 25, where Jesus Christ said this? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? My friend, what we're seeing here is that what good is it to worry? I mean, what good is it to worry? But I don't know if you're like me, so often we get caught up in the tyranny of the urgent, don't we? I mean, do you ever get caught up in the tyranny of the urgent where you get all stressed out by doing what is urgent at the expense of doing what is important? I mean, have you ever been there and done that? Well, sure you have. We all have. But God tells you that you can trust him to separate the urgent from the important so that you do not have to worry. You see, to separate the urgent from the important is his job. It is the job of the owner. It is never the job of you as the steward. Listen, let me ask you, do you know when it is that we as Christians so often get into trouble? Well, I don't know about you in your life, but I will tell you, me in my life, I get into trouble quite a bit when I try to take on his job, right? When I try to take on the job of the owner as opposed to the job of the steward. See, you don't have to worry. I don't have to worry because God is the owner and he's going to tell us what to do if we're close enough to him to hear and to recognize his voice and if we have the heart of a steward. Isaiah 30, 21 says this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now you have to be close enough to hear his voice, right? And it may be a still, quiet voice, but it is there. He tells you his voice will always be there. And again, don't you see? Again, the key is relationship before action. And remember, worry is not part of your job description. It is not part of the job description for a steward of God's wealth. Okay? Now, finally, one last point on stewardship. What is the evidence of stewardship? I mean, how can you know for sure that you are headed in the right direction, that you are headed away from being an owner and accepting the rights and privileges and responsibilities of being a steward? Well, I have to tell you that according to God's word, according to the Bible, you're moving in the right direction if you, number one, if you know what God's word says. Number two, you acknowledge his authority and direction as the owner. Then you accept your responsibility as a steward, as a manager, and not the owner. And listen, the fourth point is this, and it's key. You can tell if you're moving in the right direction if you can claim Proverbs 10:22. Now, what does Proverbs 10:22 tell us? Well, it says that it is the blessing of the Lord that brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. I mean, do you have material things and none of the worry that the world has? Do you? Now, and remember again what you learned earlier. How you manage the material areas of your life is a good visible outside indicator as to where you are inside spiritually with God. All right? Okay. All right. Now, that is stewardship, and that is the second of the two most important financial principles in all of God's Word. Now remember, again, bit of review, remember that you started off with a quick thought to remind you that wealth according to God's definition is a whole lot more than what you might find in your checkbook, right? And you remember that the amount or the value of whatever you have is not nearly as important to God as your attitude about whatever it is you have been given. And, of course, remember the definition of a steward, right? Remember, a steward is simply a manager of another person's property. And you saw that one of the best examples of stewardship in the world today, well, I got to believe it's the banker, because the banker knows that he manages the money. He does not own it. He is a manager. He is not an owner. And then, of course, you saw a couple of Jesus' parables on stewardship, the parables of the talents and the parables of the rich, foolish farmer. And you just saw how you can know for sure whether or not you're headed in the right direction when it comes to being the steward that God wants you to be. And this, do you see how the principle of stewardship ties to the first foundational principle of wealth? I mean, do you? You are simply to manage all that God has entrusted to you. He is the owner. You are the manager. Now, I know this has been quite a bit of information, but remember the Holy Spirit, He wants you to move from information into lifestyle transformation. So after we close out today, why not spend a little bit of time in prayer asking the Holy Spirit to take you a little bit deeper, right? Remember, my friend, your capacity to learn and apply is limited only by the Holy Spirit's capacity to teach and to coach. And that's a good thing. Now, as you can see, during our radio seminar times together, we are drawing heavily on the Word of God, right? So maybe now is a good time to raise a warning flag for you. Because you see, not everything that sounds biblical is scriptural. You need to be very careful to recognize and to stay away from all of those sayings that sound godly, but they're not. They're not found in the Bible. My friend, you need to learn to recognize and stay away from what is called religious folklore. And to help you do just exactly that, we're going to begin to look at religious folklore during our next time together. So don't miss it. My friend, recall that during our question and answer times together, we are focusing on and learning about the subject of giving, And trust me on this. Not every question is going to be easily answered. For example, here's the question for today. Bob, do you believe that Christians should give up every material possession and monetary surplus in order to be able to serve the Lord? More specifically, how do you interpret Matthew 19:21, in which Jesus said, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." Wow. And now that's a deep question. Let's see how the Lord would help us discover the response that would be the closest to His heart. And let's do that. Let's start by taking a look at 2 Corinthians 8:13, in which Paul writes, "Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality." Now, in other words, the purpose of giving, what we see here is that the purpose of giving is to satisfy needs. It is not to create new ones. You know, I got to tell you, I don't see any instance in the Scripture, in the Bible, in which someone is directed to give away everything except when that person has a problem with his or her attitude toward their possessions. If you have a balanced attitude toward material things, if you have a good grasp on the principles of wealth and stewardship, well, you're going to be able to handle your possessions well, and you're going to be able to give more and more away. Now, Proverbs 30:8-9 says this, "Two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of the Lord my God." And here again, what we see is that the Lord's main concern for each of us is our attitude about whatever it is that we have been given. And then Paul writes in Philippians 4:11-12, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So it seems that if you have the attitude, if you have an attitude about the material areas of your life that needs to be corrected, then God very well may tell you to give away a whole bunch or everything and begin to learn how to trust Him. But if you can handle material things as a steward and keep life in balance, well, then you can use your resources to multiply the kingdom of God. You see, each of us must live a disciplined life. We've got to learn how to budget our money. We need to be gracious givers, but not to the point where we feel like we have to give everything away. You see, what happens is that quite often a new believer in Christ will feel the need to give everything away and maybe even go on the mission field. And our experience is that that's usually when the wife, who has been the giver in the family, well, that's when she panics. Most always, this is the desire to give something away that is born out of guilt and repentance. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, one sign that God wants somebody to give everything away, or a whole lot away, is that that person will have a cheerful spirit before, during, and after, and the spouse agrees. Okay? The spouse agrees. So what is Jesus telling us in Matthew 19:21 when he says to sell our possessions and give to the poor? Well, actually, he is not telling us to do something as much as he is challenging us. Matthew 19:21 is meant to challenge the casual follower with the fact that Jesus wants all of his followers to be totally committed to him. Now, this is a great question, and I got to believe it's a rather convicting response. Now, in keeping with our focus on giving, let's see what Christian author and speaker and coach John Maxwell has to say about the word tithe in this week's Minute with Maxwell.
Hi, John Maxwell here today. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. The word today is tithing. Now, that's a biblical Old Testament word. Let me define what it means. Basically, it means to give 10% of your income to charity or to good work. And it's an incredible principle because it really kind of helps us get rid of our greed and our selfishness. And pretty much the biblical model for this and teaching is that if you will take 10% of your income and give it to good causes, that you'll have a greater return with 90% than you would if you kept it all. Now, I know we don't understand that principle. It's kind of a God principle, but I would just encourage you, whether you're a person of faith or not, to begin tithing and live a life that basically says, I need to add value to people and help them. And there are times when I need to be my brother's keeper or my sister's keeper. It's a principle that I've lived. I grew up with it. So as a child, I mean, I tithe my allowance. And today I continue that practice. And I can say it's one of the most liberating practices and principles and one of the most successful principles of my life. And here's what works. God will only give to you what he knows will flow through you. So don't be a reservoir. Be a river. My name's John. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow. Yet another great word study from John Maxwell. Now, I don't know about you, but when I give something away in my mind, mathematically, in my mind, when I give something away, it's logical that I'm going to have less. But the biblical principle of tithing tells us something different, doesn't it? It says when you give more, when you are selfless for the betterment or value of others, you're going to get blessed. You will find success in ways that are not just monetary. So give it a try. Give it a try. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Now think for just a moment. Was there something that the Lord gave you through John that really hits home today? If so, why not spend a little bit of time talking with the Lord about that after this program is over so that you and he can dig a bit deeper? My friend, if you're considering buying a used car right now, one of the things that money expert Clark Howard wants to warn you about is, well, you got to be able to check the vehicle's history. This is going to be particularly important right now in light of the recent hurricane that just hit parts of the Southeast. Clark Howard warns us that highly discounted new and not so new flood cars are coming our way. They really are. They're not here yet, but they're going to be here soon. So the question has got to be, what can you do to avoid these so-called flood cars? Well, consider taking four steps. Here are the four steps to take to avoid a flood car, okay? Number one, check out several free online tools that is going to give you the history of the car. One good one that Clark uses is Carfax's free flood check tool, which is simply a database of flooded cars. But he warns us that you got to be careful because this database is only going to show cars that are tied to insurance claims. So that means that older cars damaged by the hurricane, well, there are a lot of them that were not insured for collision or comprehensive, and therefore they're not going to show up in the database. Therefore, you're not going to be able to tell by looking at the title whether or not it's a flood car, okay? Now, this database is easy to use. All you have to do is enter your email address and your car's VIN, and the tool's going to show you the possibility of flood damage. And if it does say that, well, then you just simply need to walk away from that car. And by the way, some other free online tools that are going to show you vehicle histories are vehiclehistory.com. That's vehiclehistory.com. And VinCheck, that's all one word, V-I-N-C-H-E-C-K, which is another database. This one is from the National Insurance Crime Bureau, okay? So, number one, check out the title. Number two, a great way to avoid buying a flood-damaged vehicle is to do business only with a reputable dealer. Now, how can you tell for sure that a dealer has a good reputation? Well, you got to believe there are several ways. First of all, would be word of mouth. I mean, ask people you know and trust to refer you to dealers that they know and trust, okay? Or you can also go to the betterbusinessbureau.org, okay, betterbusinessbureau.org, and read up on that particular dealer's accreditation ratings and customer complaints history. And you can also, listen, you can also check out some of the other online review sites such as Yelp and a site called Trustpilot, TRUSTPILOT. All right, now, number three, the third way to help ID a flood car is to simply look for signs of flood damage. Now, some signs that a car has been caught in a flood might include a musty smell when you open that car up and smell the interior, water stains and mildew along the interior trimmings of the car. How about maybe fading on the interior upholstery? Check for mud, okay? Check for mud in the car's crevices. Listen, including, open up and take a look at the spare tire compartment. And also, if the car's been recently shampooed, that's got to be a warning sign to you. It doesn't necessarily mean that's a flood car, but that's got to be a warning sign. Finally, step number four, even though you have worked your way through the first three steps, Clark still recommends that you have your car inspected by a certified diagnostic mechanic of your choosing as a condition of purchase. Nice. Now, you can leave a deposit if you want, but you have to specify in writing that deposit is going to be returned to you if the car does not check out. You see, a good mechanic should be able to find evidence of flooding by checking out the condition of the car's wiring and gauges and engine and a whole lot of other parts, things that you're not going to be able to see. So the bottom line is this. Do your due diligence to first research the car's title history, But if it's an older car, if it's a used vehicle, that's not going to be enough. You absolutely need the mechanic to check out to make sure that this is not a flood car. If it's a flood car, I don't care how good the deal is, Clark says, walk away, walk away. Thank you, Clark Howard. Wow, what a great time in the Lord this has been. Recall that we started out by wrapping up our study on the two most important financial principles in all of the Bible, which of course are the principles of wealth and stewardship. And what we did was that we learned God owns it all, and He gives us the job to manage all that it is that He places into our hands. He is the owner, we are the steward, we are the manager. And then during our Q&A time together, we saw from Matthew 19:21 that Jesus is not telling us to sell all that we have in order to follow Him, as much as He is challenging us to be totally committed to Him. And then, of course, we heard what John Maxwell had to say about the word tithe, and man, that is a good word. And finally, well, we just heard from Clark Howard how important it is to check out the title and inspect any used car we may find here in the next couple of months, no matter how good the price. Remember, if its price is too good to be true, it probably is. Listen, trust me, you do not want to end up with a hurricane-flooded car in your driveway, all right? Now, as we close, well, first, remember that you can always go to our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. That's www.christianfinancialministries, all spelled out, .org. And you can go there to either re-listen to, or you can even print out a transcript of this program. Okay, that's all at our website. And one other thing just before we close, listen carefully. If you own or you operate a small business in our community here in the North Georgia, Western North Carolina mountains, I would love to be able to talk with you on air about what you do and how you do it. We would like to interview you for about 5 minutes so that you'll have a chance to talk about your products and what you sell, how you service, why people ought to be able to enjoy shopping at your establishment. And what we'll do is we will record that. We will add it then to our radio programs that happen on Saturday afternoon at 1 and then Sunday at 1 and 6:30. We'll be glad to air that for you, no charge, just help to promote the community and the community services. So again, if you're a small business person, if you would like to be interviewed on air, then please give me a call at 678-386-2640. That's 678-386-2640. And we will work out a time to record an interview that will be played on this program. All right, give me a call. We'll be glad to work it out, give you a hand. And finally, let's close as we opened. Let me close us out with a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank You for the bountiful blessings that You have bestowed on us as members of this nation. Will You please guide us to become good stewards? Help us to care for all of the beautiful creation. Oh my goodness, from the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Father, make us instruments of Your peace in order to put an end to the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air. Help us to love and care and pray for all of our neighbors, locally and globally, and especially for the peace of Jerusalem. And Father, will You please lead us to pray so that we might truly be crowned with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Father, lead us to vote wisely as an element of good steward to Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.